What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Saturday morning, a holiday Saturday morning. I guess people consider this whole weekend a holiday weekend because Thanksgiving, unless they've changed something. It's always on a Thursday. And Cowboys fans know that because they always give the Cowboys a break. Cowboys never play. I didn't want to get into this this early, but Cowboys never play a short week on a Thursday on the road. Never. They're the only team in football that has never done that. Never being the last at least 25 years, ever since they've had the games there on Thanksgiving. Because they always schedule their regular Thursday game a week later. That's a full week later. They always play on Thursday. So they never play on the road in a short Thursday, a short week Thursday night game. Never. I don't know. I don't know why the NFL kisses their ass. But we'll get into that shortly because they are losers. All right. The Eagles, big win. I know we've talked about it all week on WIP. Big win. I know the head coach Nick Sirianni says, oh, it's just another game. No, it's not another game, Nick, and you went off. But I love his emotion. We'll get into that, too. It's a game in the regular season, but it's bigger for a lot of reasons. Jason Kelce had never beaten Kansas City. Lane Johnson had never beaten Andy Reid in Kansas City. So it's a bigger game. It was important to start this five-game stretch to win that game, and you beat the team. Not that it's going to change what happened in the Super Bowl, but you beat the team that beat you because the Eagles made too many mistakes in the Super Bowl. It was a big game. So let's get over all that. Not a big game. But the fans always have concerns because it wasn't – no game – think of it in the NFL. No game is pretty. No game is perfect. It's rare that a team, especially now in the NFL, where a team plays a perfect game. So the fans already always have concerns, and I get it. I get it. And we can talk about that this morning on this fine Saturday morning. But in the end, the Eagles are 9-1. 9-1. So in your opinion, was it a big game? A bigger game than, it's probably not bigger than the Cowboys, but I honestly think it, because the Cowboys suck. I actually think it was bigger than the Cowboys because it was Kansas City. And you were on the road. I think it was a really big game and bigger than the Cowboys. And then you get the fans, and it's stirred up by some of the nitwits on WIP and the dopes, complain about Nick Sirianni being too emotional. You know, I think that's great. We like that. We like that energy. He may not like it if it was a coach for another team, but he's the coach of your football team. So stop complaining about it. I love his energy on the sidelines. I love his emotion. I don't want to see a coach just stand there with no emotion. It doesn't do anything for me. But when I'm there down on there on sidelines, and I watch him going off, I start to laugh every once in a while. But it's good. It's good. I love it. It's just that's what sports is. Sports is emotional. That's why everybody loves it so much. It's emotional. And why can't the coach, why can't the head coach or any of the coaches be emotional? Personality for a coach is so much more exciting I mean, it's more exciting. It's more interesting. Come on now. Stop. Yeah, let him just enjoy it. What's wrong with enjoying it? You keep it. It's worse than keeping up, you know, bad feelings inside and holding back bad. It's worse than that, holding back your emotion. You know, let him enjoy it. You know, knock yourself out. Have a good time. And we all have a good time. I mean, fans are screaming and yelling. The coach is a human being. Now, I love it. I love it. And, you know, he went off on the Kansas City fans. That's all right. They're mouthing off to him. So, you know, whatever, when he walks off the field. Because he's excited. He won. And it was a bigger, I hate to break the news to Nick Sirianni, it was a bigger game. We've talked about that. It was a bigger game. Absolutely was a bigger game. And now we get to the Cowboys. They are the biggest morons and dopes. The Cowboys fans are the biggest morons, dopes, losers, throw it all in there. And Jerry Jones is a part of being, you know, a moron and a dope. Everything he does, he thinks is great. The Cowboys haven't won for, what was it, over 25 years? How many playoff games have they won in that period of time? Very few, what, three? You know, and Cowboys fans chirp like they're doing something. They beat the Redskins 45-10. I hate to break the news to them. When the Redskins gave up, the Cowboys scored 25 points in the fourth quarter. It was only a 10-point game. Cowboys have not beaten a winning team all season. They beat up on bad teams. Dak Prescott, the phony that he is, builds up his numbers. Always, when they're beating a team, he builds up his numbers in the fourth quarter. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's just, and I'm going to get to the Jerry Jones comment. It's the most asinine comment that an owner could have made based on situations. I'll get to that comment he made after the game the other day. You know, I wanted to criticize Dolly Parton, but I can't. I like Dolly Parton. Nice woman. Very talented. She's 77 and she's still cranking it out. I like that. However, when she's, and it's okay, she dressed up Jerry Jones. But she sings at halftime. Okay, Jerry Jones wants her to sing at halftime and she'll do it. Okay. But to sing We Are the Champions at halftime is so over the top. We are the champions. No, they're not. They're not even the champions of the conference. We are the champions. It's a joke. It's a joke and a disgrace. It's a disgrace. So, talking about, well, I'm not gonna say the Sixers are a joke because they're not a joke. They're a decent team. They've lost 4 out of 6. But I think we ought to recognize that Joel Embiid is not a leader and not a champion. Well, he's not a champion. And he only won the MVP because the voters felt sorry for him last year. And they didn't want Jokic to win a third straight MVP. Jokic is the MVP. But he was last year. I'd rather have Jokic than Embiid, and anybody that disputes that is an idiot. But Joel Embiid didn't play against Minnesota, and I think there were two reasons for that. He didn't play because hip soreness. What the hell is hip soreness? What the hell? They just make up injuries. They make them up. He didn't want to play because they were a good team. I know it was a back-to-back. And I don't think he made the trip. Even if you, and you know he's not really hurt, but he stayed home and the team came back for Thanksgiving. They came back after the Minnesota game, and they left yesterday for Oklahoma City, who they play today. But if you're the leader on the team, because you know he's not really hurt, he's got to make the trip. But I don't believe, I didn't watch most of the game, but people that watched the game said they didn't see him on the bench. I don't know for sure, but I would suspect he didn't make the trip because they came back. You make the trip. You're not really hurt. You're a leader. You're part of that team. You're supposed to, he's not a leader, but you're supposed to be a leader. That's the problem. They don't really have a leader. Maxie's a great, great guy and a very good player. But he can't be. He's too young to be a leader. But it's just, you know, somebody's got to say something. Hey, man, you got to come with you. This is your team. But, you know, I guess he wanted to make sure he was home early enough. They came back that night, but they probably got back late. So this way he could spend a couple days at home and be there early for Thanksgiving morning. Come on, man. You're part of the team. But, okay, we'll deal with that. All right, our question today is an interesting question. So you can attempt to win a McGurk's $100 gift certificate. There are other restaurant-type bars-type, you know, establishments that are like McGurk's that get annoyed because I think so highly of McGurk's. That doesn't mean I don't think highly of the other places. McGurk's is very, very good. It's a great place to watch games. The food is terrific. And the atmosphere is really, really good. So your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to McGurk's. And there are three locations. Horsham, near my golf course, which is Commonwealth. So that's the one I stop in when I'm out there, Lionville, and Fort Washington. And it's interesting, you got to think a little bit for this. The best moments or games that happened on a holiday. And the NFL always plays games on holidays, right? Best moment or moments that happened or games that happened on a holiday for your chance to win the $100 gift certificate from McGurk's. All right. And I do want to talk later about the biggest joke in sports. I do want to talk about it. The biggest joke. I mean, there's nobody even second in this contest. The biggest joke in sports. I can't believe I'm going to start off the show with, we're going to start it. I thought we were going to start it off with Cowboy Jim. Good. Why ruin things the first thing we do? All right, Greg, calling. What part of Florida are you calling from, Greg?
Aventura, Howard.
Where?
Aventura.
Aventura is near where?
I'm between Miami and Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, okay. That's a nice area down
over
there.
Over by Turnberry. I call you every winter. From
yeah,
down here.
Yeah, I know. It's that's a nice area right in there. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's easier to fly into Fort Lauderdale than it is in Miami. Is that where you fly into?
I flew in last Friday. I think I'm 11 miles to my condo.
Yeah, and it is easier to fly into Fort Lauderdale. Am I correct with that?
Yeah. You don't want to go to Miami Airport for nothing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
forget it.
So what's up there, Greg?
Well, you know, you were talking about Dolly, and I was thinking the same thing. And it was like, and the other thing that was annoying was Tony Romo.
He made the announcement, right? Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, maybe Merle Reese should have the opportunity to broadcast a National Eagles game. Because listening to him was sickening.
It's always sickening. When he does the Cowboys, it's always sick. And Tony Romo's not a bad guy. I know he's not a bad guy. I know him a little bit, and he knows me, and we've spoken. And I really like Jim Nance because I'm friends with Jim Nance, the story, and Jim will tell you. I tried to hire him in television here before he went to CBS. I like Jim, and Tony's a good guy, but But
I don't dislike Tony as a person. I don't know. But, like, that game was so over the top. And then the We Are the Champions, I wanted to vomit. And, you know, you're right. You know, the Eagles are 9-1. This is a team that's building towards something. You know what I mean? And people that are outraged or upset, they I don't think the half of them ever played sports.
Yeah, but you don't have to play sports. I mean, there's, Howie Roseman's done a nice job, very, very good job, and he hasn't played sports. Fabulous. I know general managers in all sports that never played the sport, but they did a very, very good job, you know, as a general manager. You don't have to play sports. You know, some people just aren't talented enough.
Sports.
I mean, and at some point in their life, I'm sure they played sports, but not at a level that's either college or
pro. Point is, it built, you know, things that build character. You know what I mean? You have to understand, if you build a business, if you opened up a restaurant, you know, you got to start somewhere. You know, they're building towards something. The season is a season to its own. You know, and I like watching, you know, I don't want to say the process, but it's what it is. And
the process was a farce and a joke and a fraud. The process was a disgrace.
I'm not calling it a I'm not. Listen,
you're talking about the Sixers when you talk about the process.
The process around way before.
Oh, the process of building. Yeah,
not
the process of losing. Yeah, right.
No.
The Sixers had the process of losing.
Listen, I can't even speak. At least now, but they make me sick. I'm a Jimmy Butler fan.
So
I get to watch Jimmy.
You know, so did it annoy when you watched the halftime? Did it annoy you when you heard Dolly Parton?
No, I like Dolly.
But We Are the Champions was just
that was annoying. Dumb. I said I almost wanted to vomit. I mean, you know, the only thing worse that I saw on Thanksgiving was Josh Harris's devil face in the stands in Washington. You know, I mean, talk about another nauseating person.
Oh, yeah. I've said this, and I stand by it. The Sixers right now have the worst ownership in my lifetime.
The worst
ownership in Philadelphia in my lifetime. The worst.
The worst. I'm 60.
And they're worse than
Norman
Brim.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
The man, he rightfully owns the Devils.
Dan Wilson back at the studio has a little bit of Tony Romo. Dan, if you have that, let's hear it while Greg's on the line.
She was wearing the Cowboys cheerleading outfit.
Yeah.
You saw that coming, didn't you?
I
think she's going to go with a little cheerleading outfit tonight. And I was like, wow, it's pretty good.
What do you think we're going to see?
I mean, she looks amazing, right?
You never know what's going to happen here.
Who doesn't like Dolly Parton?
No, she's absolutely an American treasure. That's for sure.
Yeah, so is Tony Romo. He's an American treasure.
Well, some treasure should be buried in the backyard.
Yeah,
that's all I gotta say.
Good point. Hey, do you have a guess on our the question today for the McGurk's $100 gift certificate? Biggest moment or moments or games that happened on a holiday?
Well, I can remember going to my uncle's house as a little kid in South Jersey on the Thanksgiving, and it was that Clint Longley Cowboys.
Yeah, I know Clint Longley. Yeah,
that
but because it's a Cowboy, I can't ever.
No, of course, but that's the. I mean, on
yeah,
a holiday,
yeah,
I
Clint
mean,
Longley,
you know,
out of nowhere.
How about the Lions showing what they are home?
Well, yeah, hey, listen, I don't worry about the Eagles playing the Lions if they didn't.
No, the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, and the Eagles should win the Super Bowl.
Well,
you know. So
everybody hopes so. Hey, Greg, have a great day,
Howard.
Have a great day.
Great talking to you. Bye bye.
Yeah, same here. All right, all right. Tony Romo, you think about him. You know, if he wasn't a Cowboy, he'd be a great guy. But he was a Cowboy who never won squat anyway. Never won squat. And he's not as good an analyst as he was. I mean, he knows the game. He obviously is an astute football person. Knows the game. But he is a Cowboy, so you got to say no. Nope. All right. Boy, I get a little bit of a break before I got to listen to a stupid, dopey, moronic nitwit of a Cowboy fan. We'll do that. Unfortunately, we'll do that shortly. Oh, I didn't give you the numbers, but you know them. I don't have to give them 20 sometimes, you know, every segment. I don't need that because we got a lot to talk about. Mark Lawrence will join us at about 9:40 to take a look at the college that's left today, college games that are left today, and the pro games. 215-592-9494. By the way, as we are doing now, we broadcast live from the sports book here at Borgata. Fabulous sports book. Fabulous, fabulous sports book. You can enjoy yourself here. I know when I'm here on Friday nights, before I do the show on Saturday, I see people having a good time in the sports book watching the games. And, of course, I'm sure they're betting the games, too. 215-592-9494. The time now is 8:21, and if you are in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino business, and you're looking for a point-of-sale system that can truly make a difference, I've got it for you, and you've heard me talk about them. PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. That's over 35 years. They offer everything. Mobile POS, self-serve kiosks, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available, but they also save you time, effort, and money so you can focus on what really matters, and that would be your customers. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn, who's not only terrific at what he does for that business along with his team, but Joe Flynn is very philanthropic, generous guy, terrific person, and they can create a custom game plan to fit your individual business needs. Trust me, if you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS, so I don't know what you're waiting for. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation. You can do it today. PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com. I could use just a little bit. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Can't get enough of Billy Joel. Sensational entertainment. Oh, boo, am I saying Billy Joel? I'm thinking Billy Joel because I saw him here at the Borgata. Bruce, you're right, Dan. I can't get enough of Springsteen either. I saw him. Where did I see him? I guess I saw him at the Link, and I've seen him at Wells Fargo. I've seen him at both places. Bruce is really, he's an interesting guy. Some people like him, and some people don't like him a little bit. What am I saying, Billy Joel? Yeah, I was thinking about Billy Joel before I came out of the break because I remember that it was a private concert that the Borgata had with Billy Joel. I don't know. I forget how many years ago. He came, they flew him in, had the concert, and flew him out. But Bruce is sensational. Sensational. And did he miss the... He was sick the second show, I guess, here in Philadelphia. I think they've rescheduled it. That was going to be at Citizens. I think that was going to be at Citizens Bank Park. But whatever. All right, let's get back to the phones. I hesitate to do this, but I will do it. Hey, dope, Cowboy Jim, you moron. I get it all in there.
Howard.
Yes.
Howard, you love the Cowboys. You start your show off it. You didn't even give the weather today. Am I going to have to give the weather today? It's
no,
cold.
I don't. Yeah, it's cold. That's all. But it's not raining, so I'm good with that.
My dog is enjoying it, but the first thing I have to hear is you talking about the Cowboys.
No, it wasn't first thing. It was the second thing. But, the Eagles. But whatever.
And the Cowboys have three games in 11 days. They played an away game against Carolina and then have to go home and then have to save the NFL because everyone's watching the Cowboys. Because the NFL stinks.
Hold on. Let's identify... Everybody that plays on Thanksgiving usually has to play three games in 11 days. The Eagles at some point when their Thursday night game had to play three games in 11 days. But the Cowboys never play a Thursday night game on the road. Never. Because the NFL always schedules their scheduled Thursday night game the week after the Thanksgiving game. So, but they play, they never, they're the only team in the NFL that never plays a Thursday night game on the road.
You failed to mention the whopping they did to Washington.
Yeah, 25 points in the fourth quarter. They piled on after. It was a 10-point game going in the fourth quarter. You are a dope. You are. Hey, can you help me out? I'm trying to look on the schedule here. The teams, the winning teams that they've beaten this year. Can you help me out? I'm missing something here. Can you help me out with the winning teams that they beat this season?
Let me predict.
I asked you a question. Can you help me out with the winning teams they've beaten this season?
The Chargers.
No. They weren't a winning team. They're not a winning team. All right.
Well, they were at the time.
No, they weren't. They were 500. All right.
Let's get back to the 45.
No, see, you pass by that. They don't beat winning teams. They've lost. They don't beat winning teams. They don't beat winning teams.
They're 8-3. That's because the NFL doesn't have any good teams. There's
well, the Eagles have beaten two winning teams, have they not?
Yes, we all know that. We all know that.
Okay, so the Cowboys have beaten zero.
We all know how the Eagles win. They win by the refs. Okay, and let's
what are you talking about?
Let's get into what
the refs didn't help them out in Kansas City.
How did the Eagles play against Washington? They took them to overtime. The Cowboys dismantle them with no problem.
Okay.
And how did the Eagles do?
I'm trying to look. Let me look at the standings. Can you help me out with the standings? I'm looking at the Eagles' schedule and the standing. They didn't lose that game to Washington, right? Isn't it about wins?
I'm predicting the Buffalo Bill game with them.
Yeah, if you want to look at a game, how did the stinking lousy fraud Cowboys play against Arizona?
Josh Dobbs was quarterbacking. It's a whole different team. Josh Dobbs is a good quarterback.
I asked you a question. How did they play against?
They didn't win, but they played against a good quarterback. And Arizona at the time.
Does the quarterback play defense?
They're 8-3.
And I believe the Cowboys only scored 16 points that game. Is that correct?
Can I give my prediction for the Bills game?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Okay. This is what's going to happen. The Eagles will have one penalty. Okay. The Buffalo Bill receivers will drop the ball. They won't know how to run a pass route. It's going to be the same thing over and over. The refs won't see this. They won't see that. It'll be the same thing over and over.
Hey, do you have any cheese with you?
I know the wine joke. That's old and tired.
Yeah, so are you. All right. Beat it. I've had enough. Pete, you're on WIP.
Morning, Howard. I need your opinion. I believe that Daryl Morey, with the Philadelphia 76ers, has failed to create any kind of culture whatsoever in building a team, not only for the present, but I think he's totally forgotten about the future. Now, my question to you is this.
Who's forgotten about the future?
Now that he's reacquired some draft picks, that he's going to totally screw it all up.
Talking about Daryl Morey.
Like he did in the past, knowing his track record, and get an older guy who he thinks is going to be the savior of the franchise.
Okay, let's break this down. Let's break this down to its simplest form. Daryl Morey is a fraud. He's never won anywhere in the NBA. He's a fraud. He's got a good, he talks a good game. That's how he got the job. That's how he got $12 million a year from the Sixers, because the Sixers don't have a clue anyway. But their ownership. So they hired Daryl Morey, has done nothing. He's not improved this team. The James Harden trade was a disaster because he could have had Tyrese Halliburton. All you have to do is look at Tyrese Halliburton's the box score every night that he plays. He is sensational. Halliburton and Maxey in the backcourt would have been unbelievable. But he had this love affair and this man crush on Harden. And Daryl Morey is a total fraud. And you're right. He will not do anything that really helps his team win a championship. Then he signs. Everybody was all enamored. He signed Kelly Oubre. Well, I think we realize what Kelly Oubre is. There was no hit and run. That was a complete phony baloney. But when you look at Kelly Oubre's history, yeah, he can score, but he's bounced around the teams. He's got to be a bad guy. There's got to be something wrong with him. He averaged 20 last year with Charlotte, and they didn't even keep him, and they suck. Golden State, everybody gets rid of him. There's something, and so he signed him for minimum, and Daryl Moore, oh, yeah. He doesn't care. He's trying to make it through, and he's still got two more years at $12 million a year. So the city of Philadelphia and the Sixers fans are stuck with him. They're stuck with him.
Seems like he has a pretty good skill set in, like, choosing the wrong guy without doing enough research on any of them.
That's an interesting way. That's a skill set. Okay. That's an interesting way to look at it.
One example for you of a Thanksgiving Day nightmare. I was in Toronto, Canada in 1998 watching the Steelers play the Detroit Lions. The game went into overtime. You probably remember.
Who'd the Steelers play?
The ref flipped the coin. Who'd
the Steelers play?
Bettis called heads. Tails came up, and the ref got it wrong. And there was total chaos at the beginning of overtime over a coin flip.
And the Steelers ended up losing the game, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good one. All right. Let's. We actually have the audio to that. Hey, thanks, Pete.
All right, see ya. Thank you.
All right, take care. Go ahead. Let's hear what happened there.
Who will call it from Pittsburgh? Number 36, heads, tails, tails, heads. Call it plays in the air. Heads is the call. He said heads. It is a tails.
Oh, I believe he said tails. He did.
You want to take the ball?
Look at Jerome Bettis. He's turned. What's going on?
You're changing the head. Which way you want to go?
You know what? I do remember that now. Jerome Bettis was, yeah. Hey, the officials, hey, listen. Do you expect them to get the coin flip right 100% of the time? Come on now.
The rule was changed because of that. Now you have to call it before the coin flip.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, literally they used to call it in the air, and as a result of it, that offseason, they said you had to call it before the flip now.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that, but yeah, they do call it beforehand. Yeah, that is interesting. And the official, yeah, they could have fixed that, but there's no replay audio for a coin.
No, it was 1998, but yeah, it's the Jerome Bettis rule.
Yeah, wow. All right, let's go to Bam. Bam, you're on WIP.
What's up, my favorite idol growing up as a kid?
And there you go. You know, everybody's got to have an idol. It's interesting that you would have me as your idol, but that's okay.
It's been like that since fourth grade, Howard.
It's all good. It's all good.
I mean, I'm tired of hearing about that Cowboy Slim guy.
Yeah, what a loser. A total loser. Yeah. Loser. Yeah. So, what's up there, Bam?
Not much. I was going to get into the Sixers. I was telling you, the producer. I'm like, listen, I would never, you know, as long as I've been told to you, King, I would never become a Sixers fan again. I'm sorry. They lost me at the 2000, like,
and
the
90s. And why is that? Just explain that to me.
Too many empty promises with championships coming to the city.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to win it with Allen Iverson. We're going to win it with...
Allen Iverson, that was a different era. That wasn't a team that was trying to lose. And Larry Brown was a great coach. Allen Iverson did a lot for this team. They didn't win, but they did get to the finals more than this team's ever going to do.
Yeah, I understand it. But being as old as a kid, you know how when you're a kid, you're like 8 or 9, you realize who you like and who you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings always stuck out to me in the 90s. The Kings, Sacramento Kings, always said they don't have. Look at their franchise now. They don't have an issue like Daryl Morey does.
So what's your issue with the Sixers, other than the fact that they're never going to win a championship under this current regime and whatever?
That the GM is a fraud. Every GM that came in here is a fraud.
Not everyone, but this guy is. Yeah. This Scam Hinkie was a fraud, obviously. But.
I hope the Sixers.
How do you like? You're telling me that you don't think Embiid. If that's the case, the team's not good enough. Embiid a leader in your opinion?
No, You're supposed to be with your team. Don't matter if you're hurt or not.
Yeah,
don't
I don't think he was there. I don't think it was there. But, you know, oh, yeah, hip soreness. That's nonsense.
Do you think when De'Aaron Fox was out hurt, you think he didn't travel with them to Houston?
Yeah, they all. I mean, it's part of what you do. If you're just a nobody on the team, I understand it. But you're supposed to be, and he's not a leader. He's far from a leader, and he's not a champion. But you got to be there. And it's not. He just didn't want to play against Minnesota either. So I understand it's a back to back, but that's, you have a few of those during the year. You're gonna have to.
Yeah.
Then you had a lot of days off after that, so you had time to rest. But whatever. So what's your best moment or moments or games on a holiday?
I want to say going back to that when Brett Favre played with what's his name, Levens, Dorsey Levens.
Uh huh.
I forget what the play was, but I know it was like a fumble recovery against the Lions. And the next play, Dorsey Levens ran it in for a touchdown. I think that's what I remember.
And that was on what holiday? Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
All right. All right, Bam. Thanks for the call.
All right, Howard.
Have a great weekend. That game doesn't really stand out to me that much. But there are others. There are others. And they play, it's like this year, they're going to play on Christmas and New Year's Eve. Yeah, and there were games on, I consider Christmas Eve a holiday. So you can count that if you come up with a game with that too. 215-592-9494. We're at the sportsbook, BetMGM, at the Borgata. God is always a lot of fun. So we're here. We're here on Saturdays, and we're here this holiday weekend. We're here for you. Time now is 8:40, and here's what's happening at Borgata. Well, I can't even explain all the good things that are happening, but I'll try. You don't want to miss out on the action of Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, high hands bring excitement to every player, open 7 days a week. I took a little visit through the poker room last night. It is packed and it is big. A lot of people here at the Borgata playing poker. Excitement is waiting. You're only miles away from your happy place. Thursday night, the restaurants were busy, and they had on their menu was Thanksgiving dinner, and a lot of people took advantage of that. They always come up with something. Experience award-winning restaurants. They're all terrific. Exciting bars, live music, big-name entertainment, and spacious casino, and it is filled with your favorite slots and table games. There's so many good things at the Borgata. The casino, the spa, it's all good. Start planning your getaway today. Check it all out, theborgata.com, for more details.
I still belong.
Enough of Billy Joel. There's Billy Joel. Springsteen and Billy Joel, two great, great entertainers. You know, I got a text message from somebody actually that was there's all kinds of nice people. A text message, and I didn't realize it because I couldn't stomach the Cowboys Redskins game. That fraud Dak Prescott to build up his numbers. Is up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter and throws a bomb. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, I'll never forget the last game, was it last year? When the Eagles didn't need the game. Must have been last year. Eagles didn't need the game. So they played their 5th, 6th, 10th string players, whatever. They played nobodies in the game against the Cowboys. And I think Prescott had 5 touchdown passes. Was it 5? It was 4 or 5. And he was so excited. You suck. Dak Prescott sucks. How's that? Sucks. Let me just get that. For the way he builds up his number. Now, he's a good person. The way he builds up his numbers with it just piles on. It's a joke. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Good morning.
Morning.
So I just wanted to talk about the Eagles game real quick. So I think, you know, this is another AFC team that they're playing, and I think it's going to be similar to the Dolphins game where it's just a complete blowout. I can see their offensive line and defense line just manhandling those guys.
You know what? I don't want to break your enthusiasm, but I think this game Sunday against the Bills is going to be a really tough game. The emotion coming off the game, and you can say what you want, and Nick Sirianni tries to downplay it. Now, I get it. I understand it. Players just got to move on to the next game. Short week. And the teams, players are used to short weeks now, so that's not as big a deal. An emotional game with a really big game on the other side, and that would be San Francisco. And you know that's probably the team you're going to have to beat in the NFC. Not the Cowboys, but San Francisco. So that's it's really a tough game. Really a tough game. So, and that's the way I look at it.
I think the 49ers game and the Seahawks game are bigger than the Cowboys game.
49ers game is, for sure. For sure, because it's at home. And they're the stiffest competition, I think, in the NFC. Absolutely.
All right. Can I give you my answer?
Yep. Okay. Here, let me just explain the question again. To try to win the McGurk's $100 gift certificate with locations in Horsham, Lionville in Fort Washington. The best moment or moments or games that happened on a holiday. Go ahead.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Do you consider Valentine's Day a holiday?
Yeah, I'll go. How do they play on Valentine? Oh, yeah, because 14th could fall on a Sunday. That is correct. All right. I'll allow it. Go ahead.
Okay, then I'm going to say Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game came on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but that's too far back. But I didn't realize I didn't realize that was on Valentine's Day.
All right, can I give you another answer then?
Sure, yeah. I'm not going to take the Wilt game.
How about Dave Rigetti throwing a no-hitter on July 4th?
And he was, at the time, he was a Yankee, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. All right. Hey,
have a good day.
All right. You too. Have a great weekend. Let's go to John in Manayunk. What's going on, John?
Hey, Howard. It's not that big of a thing, but why did the Eagles even bring in Derek Barnett this year? And then he wanted to be released, and they finally cut him. What happened? He didn't show up at practice or something like that?
No, he wanted to play, and he wasn't going to play. Basically, from what I understand, he wanted to play. He wasn't going to play, so he asked, you know, if I'm not going to play, you know, if they would release him. And they did. They don't want a guy around that really – you know, he was away for personal reasons. Who knew what that was? But he wasn't going to play, and he wanted to play. So he asked them to release him, and they did.
Yeah. Yeah, one other thing before I get to my
– he's not good enough to play right now. The only way he would play would be an injury. So, but they don't need him right now.
He's not the next Reggie White like they said when he came out of Tennessee, right?
Well, yeah, but everybody gets pumped up. So I understand that.
Yeah, I just got a quick answer for your trivia question. In 2006,
it's not a trivia. It's a question to win a gift certificate.
Yeah, right. I'd like to win it. But so in 2006 on Christmas Day, Eagles went in with Jeff Garcia and the Cowboys cockroach territory, and they won at the end of the day. Said Merry Christmas, Philadelphia.
Hey, Philadelphia, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, there it is, Jeff Garcia. That's a good one. I'm trying to remember what was the score of the game. I know they won that game.
I think it was close, and I think they needed to, like, they had to win, and they had like five other teams lose or certain
what was
other.
What was the game that was it Boykin? What was Boykin's first name? Brandon Boykin? Brandon Boykin got an interception at the end to seal it. Was that? Oh, that was another game. That was another game. I think that was on a holiday, actually. I think I might have taken one away. I think that was on a holiday. But the Cowboys aren't a great home team because that stadium's not a real advantage, even with all those people, because they're too far away from the field. And they're watching that ridiculous scoreboard in the middle of the field. That's because Jerry Jones wanted more seats. And rather than put video boards at the end of each end zone, it would take away seats. So he put it in the center of the field. And everybody all the way up top in the next county, you're so far away, are watching the scoreboard. But all right, we'll take that at Jeff Garcia game. That was on Christmas or – it was 2006. Was it Christmas or Christmas Eve?
It was December 25th, 2006. The Eagles won 23-7. And okay. that Brandon Boykin game was to seal the NFC East. That was December 29th, 2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah, by the way, the game – in which Dak was so full of himself, and they beat the Eagles 55-21 against the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th string players, because the Eagles didn't play anybody. He was so proud of himself. What a joke piled up. And he just, oh, my gosh. It's.
I think you played in that game.
I could have played in that game for the guys they had in that game. It's a joke. It is truly a joke that he's so full of himself. After a game like that, you ought to be embarrassed. You ought to be embarrassed. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Did you get your Christmas shopping done on Black Friday yesterday?
No, you know what? And I'll say this, and I think it's unfortunate that shoppers don't go to stores as much. But I'll tell you, yesterday, they were out there yesterday. I pass, coming down to the Borgata, I pass. What's it, the Gloucester outlets right off of 42 there? It was packed. Packed.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm happy for those merchants. But, you know, you think I'm going to go into a store on Black Friday? You think I'd get any shopping done? There'd be so many questions, I would get no shopping done. And I do, like a lot of people do.
In the
morning. Yeah, I mean, I'll go to a store and look at something, but I'll also do it on the internet as well. So.
Hey, right. The Kansas City Chiefs game, yes, it was important. It was important.
Big game. Don't you think it was a big game? It was a big game.
Yeah, it was. Very important.
Yes.
The trivia you're asking for. Well, this one was an important game. 1973. Westview Flyers versus the Westview Cougars, the championship.
The what?
My mother wouldn't let me tell.
The what?
It's a championship Pee Wee Hockey League game. I was in 1973, and my mother made me go to Newtown Square Swim Club instead of playing in that game.
Yeah,
anyway.
Right. She probably did the best thing for you.
We won. We won the championship.
Okay.
I didn't play in that game.
Oh, no. I feel bad about that.
yeah, I can tell. Hey, trivia. What was it? I got it written down.
Is it trivia or trivial? Go ahead.
Wilt Chamberlain, 1966 Valentine's Day, breaks Bob Pettit's scoring points,
you know,
20,880.
Here's what I'll tell you, Steve, and I appreciate your effort, but I don't really want to go back that far. That's really, because then you eliminate a lot of people even having a chance to remember it. All right, so just let's not go back that far, but it's a great effort. 215-592-9494. All right, when we come back, I got it. Well, it's another chance to rip the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. The comment he made after winning on Thanksgiving is asinine, stupid, moronic. It's ridiculous. And the biggest joke in sports, the biggest joke in professional sports, I'll say professional sports, all right? 215-592. 9494. The time now here at the Borgata is 8:56. And if you're in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino business, and you're looking for a point-of-sale system that can truly make a difference, call PDQ Signature Systems. Got to do it. PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. They offer everything. Mobile POS, self-serve kiosk, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. That's why they're so successful. That's why they've been around for over 35 years. PDQ POS is not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available, but they also save you time, effort, and money so you can focus on what really matters, your customers. If you haven't at least called PDQ POS, you owe yourself to at least do that. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn and his team are terrific. And Joe Flynn gets involved. He helps me with donations for the SPCAs, which I raise money for on my website when I pick games. He's a big contributor to the Eagles Autism Foundation. He does a lot, and he does a lot with his business to help you and your individual needs. Trust me. If you want a point-of-sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. So what are you waiting for? Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch. And what you got to do is go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation. You can do it today. PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com. People still enjoy the Beatles, even though if you didn't live through the era of the Beatles, the Beatles, Elvis, they were rock and roll. So sensational. It's truly amazing. All right, a few things that I want to touch on. You know, obviously, we're talking about the Eagles. It is a big win. Nick Sirianni tries to downplay it, and I get it. That's his job. That's what he's got to do. He's got to make the players hope. He's got to help the players focus on this game, which I think is going to be a tough game. We'll hear from Mark Lawrence to see what he thinks, because you have San Francisco on the other side after a big game. So I don't want to call it a trap game, because everybody uses that term now, and they don't even know what the hell they're talking about, half of them. But regardless, it really is. I think it's a tough game, even though Buffalo's not playing that well this year. I think it's a tough game. So the Eagles, big win, 9-1. And people complain. You know, we haven't heard it from anybody. Nick Sirianni, we get some of the nitwits on WIP that don't like Nick Sirianni's emotion. I love it. You know, you want to say something to the fans? That's all right. Who cares? Say something to the fans. Who cares? They're getting on you the whole game. It's just, you know, it's the excitement, the emotion of a game. So I'm okay with that. I don't know how people feel about that. But regardless, I love it. I really do love his emotion. And a couple other things that I didn't touch on. Jerry Jones. Now, they beat the Redskins. Now, they beat the Commanders, that team really sucks. They really, really suck. Well, their ownership is bad, so it just falls right into place. And it's not the ownership's fault now, but I don't think the Redskins are ever going to win anything. But that being the case, they scored 25 points in the fourth quarter. Dak Prescott throws a bomb up, 3 touchdowns. I mean, come on. It's pathetic. Dak Prescott just likes to roll up his numbers. But here's Jerry Jones after the game. We don't have the audio because he spoke to a writer. I don't know that I've had a day like this. This is Jerry Jones after the game. And I'll include them all. I'll put Super Bowls in there. I don't know if I've ever had a better day with the Cowboys than today. You beat the Washington football team. Right now they're the Commanders, but they'll have a new name at some point. And they suck. He scored. It was a close. It was a 10-point game going into the fourth quarter. They scored 25. And he doesn't know that he had a better day with the Cowboys than today, and that includes the Super Bowls? Maybe because he's starting to lose it a little bit, and it's been so long ago that the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. But how can that game be better than a Super Bowl? Are you absolutely kidding me? You're kidding me. What a moron. What a moron and a dope and a jerk. It's the most asinine comment that anybody could make after beating a bad team. I don't care if it's on Thanksgiving or not. Got excited with Dolly Parton. We are the champions, she sang. It's great. No, they're not. And they haven't been for a long. They can't even win a playoff game most of the time. Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, thanks. I'm going to start with they took my thunder, that caller previously on your trivia question, the coin flip, because basically that was a major effect in the NFL by changing that rule. So
yeah,
my hat's off to that
caller.
Yeah,
well, I mean, a coin flip should be like a no-brainer. Should be a no-brainer, the coin flip.
Exactly. So, sarcastically, maybe Jerry Jones's comment was the fact that being Thanksgiving Day or week, he got a phone call from Chris Christie and they bumped fists together. I don't know. But Jerry's obviously...
You know, he didn't let Chris Christie in his box when the Cowboys were here.
Interesting.
He had to sit with the guy that got thrown out of his box. I don't want to get
into
that.
Well, I hope Jeff Lurie did the same. Wouldn't let Chris Christie in the box. Any of
right.
them.
Well, it's a politics or whatever may be part of it.
Exactly. I'm going to switch gears a little and ask two questions. My first one is for you, if you could educate me. Seriously, I'm not being sarcastic. When you talked earlier about GMs not being athletes, is it true that in the NFL specifically, it's getting to the point where future assistant GMs, they're all Ivy League grads with all this mathematical background?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I don't know how many of them there are, but they have departments, you know, Ivy League guys, you know, MIT guys, you know, all that kind of because of the analytics. It's the worst. The Phillies have at least 15 employees with analytics, and I think that screwed up the Phillies. I think the analytics people are the reason the Phillies didn't get to the World Series, because they identified Schwarber as a leadoff hitter, which he's not, put speed at the top of the lineup, but you don't care about speed anymore.
Yeah.
They were home run hitters, and you can't win like that in the playoffs because the pitching gets better. It's hard to win like that in the playoffs. Texas hits home runs, but they also get base hits. They also hit balls in the gap. They do the things that you need to do. Arizona got to the World Series with not a lot of power hitters. They have some, obviously, but with speed. And, you know, you play the game the way it's really supposed to be played.
Sure.
The Phillies need to change the top of their order. And the analytics guys, you know, throw you this information that's against it. But whatever the case, GMs, you don't have to play the game to be good at your job if you're a personnel or a GM.
My last question is, objectively, I love Jay Wright. That being said,
terrific.
When I look at his retirement, I really think what happened was it wasn't about being burned out. This is my opinion. What happened there is simply the Villanova culture of graduation and all. Slowly with the NBA, you start losing guys after their junior year. And I think really the real kicker was the NIL.
Let me address from, you know, and Jay has shared some things and I don't want to get into all of them. He coached a long time. So burnout is part of it, but also the NIL is part of it. You can't deal with that anymore, but he doesn't want to coach anymore. He's not going to coach in the NBA because you don't want to coach those players because you can't control those players. So the NIL, it's not the culture at Villanova as much as, you know, the transfer portal, the NIL, it's all part of it, but burnout was part of it, too. Jay Wright is not only a great, great, great person, he's a great, great, great coach. And we saw that. He outcoached, He's better. I think he's better than Krzyzewski. And he's certainly better than Roy Williams, and we saw that. So, yeah, that's part of it. All right, so what's your moment there, Joe? On a holiday?
Actually, as I said, Howard, I can't even come up with the – I was going to think the Heidi Bowl, but first, I'm not quite so sure that was on a holiday, and maybe it was.
You're talking about Clint Long? Was that Clint? No,
No. The Raiders, you lost the game. The Heidi Bowl.
The game got interrupted by what was it, the movie or the show?
Sound of Music or something like that. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. I appreciate the call. Thanks. All right. Let me address the biggest joke in sports. And I asked this question, and I know the answer. Does anybody know what the in-season tournament is in the NBA? Does anybody have the first clue? The first clue. It is a joke. It is the biggest joke in sports. And the NBA has to color the courts. And in the Sixers case, we don't have to watch that red court anymore because they got knocked out. But knocked out of what? What do you win? And it's insulting. I watched, and this was my first mistake, watching ESPN, which a bunch of glad-handers and, you know, propagandists and idiots. But you watch it to see what happened in the college games. You watch it last night. But they build up the in-season tournament, obviously, because they broadcast the games. They broadcast the games. Oh, you get to win $500,000 if you win. It's the last four guys on the bench that care about that money. You think a guy that's making over $40 million a year really cares about $500,000? Are you kidding me? It is the biggest farce. It is the biggest joke. Nobody knows what the hell it is in season tournament. It's Adam Silver, who is a pathetic, pathetic commissioner. Nice guy. Pathetic commissioner trying to generate more revenue on a year that their TV deals come up, I think, with a bunch. I don't know if it's with everybody. I know it's with TNT. He's trying to get as much money and build up ratings. Does anybody watch that game because it's an in-season tournament? It's a joke. The NBA is a bad product. It's an awful product. The in-season tournament, the games are the same as the regular season. It's garbage. Most of the games, there's some good games. There are some good games. I will not take that away from them. But most games are garbage. Garbage. And there's talent. I'm not saying the players aren't talented because there's a lot of players that are talented. The game is a three-point shooting contest. Dunks so you can mug for the camera. But the in-season tournament, what the hell is the group A, group B, group C, group two, group this? Stick it up your rear end. It sucks. And it's a joke. The biggest joke in sports. All right, got it out of my system. Because it is a joke. This, you know what? Hold on. You know, let me put this guy on hold. Because let me get the Sixers. You know, it's all part of the Sixers, and we're in a city where the team's a joke. You know, I'm afraid, and I don't want to get too deep in this. You know what I think about the proposed arena at 10th and Market. It's a farce. It's going to kill the city. Now, there's the parking company, and I don't want to mention their name because he's got a lot of property in the area, partnered with the Sixers to do that. It's ridiculous. It's a traffic jam waiting to happen. It's more crime waiting to happen. It's no way you can build it over a train station and build it because you have to build it off the ground. And SEPTA, I know, has checked, the engineers have checked whether they can go underground. You can't go underground. The subway's there. What are you going to have the train stop at center court sometime during the game? It's a farce. It's an ego trip. Because they can get the property for a song. And that's why they want to build it there. Because the gallery or the fashion district or whatever the hell it's called now is a mess. So the city spent all that money to build that. And now they're going to get rid of it. And the Sixers say, oh, it's all our money. It's not going to be. The city has to pay for infrastructure. The politicians. The whole city is a joke. You'd have to pay. You know, you couldn't pay me to live in the city limits. You couldn't. pay me. I don't trust the politicians. They're all out for the unions because they donate a lot of money. And I'm all for the unions, but they're doing things that they shouldn't do. I worry about the new mayor-elect, Sherelle Parker, partnering up with the unions because they got her elected. I'm worried about all that. I'm worried about the proposed new council president. I'm going off now. Kenyatta Johnson, who at one time was indicted. Now, he was found innocent. But you got to wonder, you're going to have a council president who at one time was indicted? I know he was found innocent. I get it. So, you know, he's found not guilty. But what the hell's going on in the city? And there, it's like who takes care of who? And that arena started this ball rolling. And it's just, it will be a complete disaster. And nobody's taking SEPTA to go to the games. All right, did I make my point? And they're just part of, you know, I started on the NBA and then I rolled into the Sixers. I can't take it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I went off because, you know, I just want a city. I want the city to be what it used to be 20 years ago. Now, this is the worst mayor that's currently the mayor of my lifetime in Philadelphia, and that's part of the problem. And Sherelle Parker, anybody would be better, but I'm sure she'll be better. But don't partner up with the unions because the unions helped you get elected. Do it on real financial studies, not the financial study that the Sixers give you, real financial studies. It will, and I talk to people that build arenas all over the world. It will be, it's not going to be able to build or what they say it's going to cost. It will be a complete financial disaster for the city of Philadelphia. All right, I made my point. All right, I got it out of my system. All right, Andy. Sorry,
hey, what's up, guys? How you doing, Howard? Good talking to you, buddy.
All right,
hey,
same here.
Listen, I got a real good one for you. It concerns the Cowboys, probably one of the dumbest things I ever saw. But I'm going to give you two quick points. That Cowgirl fan that called up earlier, they said about the Cardinals, how good they were with Dobbs. Yeah. They were 0-2 when they played the Cowboys. Cowboys were 2-0. They lost to the Giants, believe it or not, the week before, and they dropped 40, the Cowboys, I believe, on the Giants. They gave up 222 yards on the ground, the Cowboys. Prescott throws a timely interception. So they lost to a bad team. I don't want to hear that these Cowboy fans saying, oh, the Cardinals were a good team. No, they weren't. And another thing, too, buddy, the Redskins were minus Montez Sweat, Chase Young, and a depleted backfield on the defensive side. And me and you could have passed for 400 yards against the damn Redskins.
Dak Prescott is so phony with his numbers. He's so phony.
Yes, and I'm telling you, Howard, it's ridiculous. They were depleted. They had no defensive ends. Both their defensive ends are in other places right now, doing probably way better than they would be. But Prescott had no pressure. He had open backfield. It was a feast for him. So the Redskins stink, okay? So I don't want to hear about these Cowboy fans. They haven't, like you said, they haven't beat a team 500 and over yet, okay? They're going to play against the Seattle Seahawks, Howard, and I'm going to tell you something right now. They're pissed off because they just lost. They're going to come out there. They're going to go there to Cowboy land, and they're going to give it to them. Trust me on that one, okay? And I'm tired of these Cowboy
fans. We all hope
so,
except those stupid Cowboy fans, the losers that they are.
I do have a good one for you, buddy.
Go ahead.
This is probably the most – this was exhibition in futility. It was 1993 Thanksgiving. Cowboys were winning 14-3 against the Dolphins. They blocked a field goal that would have put the Dolphins up. But Leon Lett, who had an IQ of about 4, hit
– No, it was 5. I think it was 5.
Yeah, well, he gave up. He blocked the field goal, and he touched it. The Dolphins had another chance at it and won the game 16-14. I thought it was 1993, but if it was 95, that's
and it was on Thanksgiving.
I hope you have the audio on that one. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen when the Cowboys lost to the Dolphins
on that particular play. Okay, all right. That might be a good one. All right, Andy, I appreciate the call, man. Have a great weekend. You know, the other thing I wanted, it is the season now that we've gotten past Thanksgiving. I'm wearing socks. Caleb, you can verify this. Christmas socks with Christmas trees on them, correct? Okay. So I'm trying to get into the spirit. I mean, the Eagles game on Sunday is a Kelly Green game, so I'll be in my Kelly Green. But there'll be a time because the Eagles play on Christmas Day, so I'm going to have some good things for dressed for Christmas. But gifts, it's so hard. First of all, it's hard to shop for people. you know, gifts that you just want to give people, you know, and it not really inexpensive, but not really expensive. Just like what electronics gifts are good. What if you have any ideas for gifts, I'm just trying to get gifts for people. All right. So if you can help me out with that, if you have any ideas along with your sports conversation and you want to. Hey, good morning. When you guy walks by here with a 49ers cap, that doesn't work for me. But whatever. at least it's not a Cowboys cap. Nobody comes in here that's a cowboy with a Cowboys jacket. You know, at the high school game the other day, one of the parents for Haddon Heights, it was senior day, obviously. It's the last game. With the game we broadcast, Haddon Heights and Haddonfield, which a lot of nice people there. The coaches were nice. Everybody was nice. But one of the moms came out with, when they walked out their son for senior day, with a Cowboys jacket on and a Cowboys, was it a Cowboys shirt? But in a, I whatever. It's, you know, it's the mom, so you can't really get on the mom. But anyway, it was a nice day there on Thursday for our high school game, our turkey ball that we broadcast. All right, 215-592-9494. The question to win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's, where you'll enjoy yourself tremendously with the atmosphere, the food, watching the games, the whole thing in Horsham, Lionville, and Fort Washington. Best moment or moments or games that happened on a holiday. All right. The time now is 9:22, and here's what's happening at Borgata, where we broadcast every Saturday here, now in the sports book, BetMGM, which is phenomenal. Great place. Great for people. Enjoy the games. Comfy. Watching the games. All these sideboards. You got lines. You got games. You got updates. You got everything. But there's a lot of other things. The poker room here is sensational. Passed by there last night. It was packed. I mean, it was packed. A lot of excitement. Open 7 days a week. You're only miles away from your happy place. Remember that. You've got award-winning restaurants, which they had Thanksgiving. All of them had a something on the menu for Thanksgiving. And they, a lot of people here for Thanksgiving night. Exciting bars, live music, big-name entertainment, spacious casino, filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata is terrific. The casino, the spa is sensational. Start planning your getaway today. Check it all out. Here it is, theborgata.com, for more details. We can't go on together
with suspicious minds. No, Elvis. And we can build our dreams
on suspicious minds. I was lucky enough to see Elvis in concert 3 months before he passed away. Now, he wasn't in the best of shape, but he still sounded great. It was at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. It was in May of 1977. And I think he passed away in August of 77. Elvis was sensational. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's try to get some more callers in here. Dan, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on, Howard? How you doing? Can you got me all right? Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so, you know, I mean, I know we're, you know, we're piling on the Cowboys this morning, but I gotta put my my 2 cents in. You know, Cowboy Jim has moved from, I think, just annoying to, I think we're heading into the realm of delusional now.
There's so many things that are annoying about the Cowboys. Jerry Jones, who's a nice man, I know he's a nice man, but he's delusional. It was asinine for him to make that comment that it was the best day, whatever, and that includes Super Bowls. That's ridiculous. Listen, Tony Romo's a good guy, but he's you can't take him on the games. You just can't take him doing Cowboys games. The other games, he's fine. I mean, he does a good job, but the Cowboys, you just can't take it.
And I just want to give you a little more food for thought here. The Cowboys' next five games, not counting the last game again against the Commanders, but you know, they got the next day they got Seattle coming up, which they should win, but it could be a challenge. Then they got us again, and you know, I think we're really going to wax them that time because I think
I tell you that's a tough game for the Eagles. It's hard to beat the same team, good teams, and they're a good team. They're not a great team. It's hard to beat the same team in your division twice. It really is. It's a short period of time. That's the other problem. That's a tough game. Don't just mail that in. It's a tough game.
Well, yeah, it's true.
I think Sunday's a tough game. That's what's tough about the schedule is you can try to downplay the emotion, and you got to be emotional in the game. But Nick Sirianni, who I think is a terrific head coach, not just a good head coach, a terrific head coach. He's trying to downplay how big the game was. It was big. I know it's a regular season game, but it was big, and you can't downplay that part of it. You can downplay it because the players have to move on to the next game.
And then after that, they're going up to Buffalo. And then after that, they're going down to Miami. And then they finish off, well, the next to last game, they got Detroit at home. So it's not really unrealistic to, you know, I would suspect they'll probably go 3-2 in that stretch, but they could go 2-3 as well. And you know, they're going to be playing the fourth seed.
The Eagles needed to go 3-2 in this five-game stretch. Now, they've already got one. And if they go 3-2 with the last three games against the Giants, Arizona, and then the Giants, even if they lose to Dallas, they're still in really good shape.
Even if they lose to Dallas, there's no way.
Yep. Dallas is going to lose another game for sure, at least one more game.
So I'm assuming Dallas probably takes care of whoever comes out of AFC South in the wild card round. And then that puts them, with the way the seeding works, that's going to put them right at the link for the division around the playoffs.
You got to have home games. The bye is really important, and you got to play at home, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. Okay, so what's your moments or holiday game?
It's more of an infamy kind of thing, but it's one of my favorite football things. The Mark Sanchez butt fumble that was on Thanksgiving against the Patriots.
was on Thanksgiving.
You know, and Will Fork knocked the Jets O lineman right into Sanchez, and they picked it up around the back.
I remember the play. You know, I've actually I don't bring it up to Sanchez, and I'm friendly with Mark. And I stay in touch with him, but I don't bring it up. That was it's been brought up so many times. But we have the audio of that play. Let's listen to it. And thanks for the call. And the backside, the Brandon Moore is his own player. It was great. It's forever been. I wonder if, I'm not sure. I think that made the cover of Sports Illustrated. What a way to make the cover when Sports Illustrated was the I don't want to call it the Bible, but it was the sports magazine of the country. And that was big. And I think he made the cover with that. And that's not a good way to make the cover.
It's the all-time winningest not Sports Center top 10. Or not top 10 on SportsCenter. They had to retire it.
Really?
Yeah, because it won too many times in a row. Nothing was ever going to beat it.
Oh, wow. That's interesting, too. Art, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how's it going?
I've never had a bad day in my life. It's going great.
That's what I thought.
And I'm at the Borgata. Hey, how bad could it be?
It's great. Everything's cool. Yep. Hey, look, these Cowboy fans, they are so predictable. All the time. They win a couple games against bad teams, and they think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
I know. Morons.
They start with their owner. He is truly delusional.
You know what? Here's it. You know, and I was the one that came up with the term, and I've added a syllable, cockroaches. And the reason is, I was thinking, you know, cockroaches go down in the muck and grime when it's not sunny. You know, when it's gloomy out, they're down in the mud and the muck and grime. But then when the sun comes out, here come the cockroaches. Cowboys fans are the same way. When they sucked for years, They went down in the muck and grime. And then the cockroaches that are Cowboys fans came out when they started to play well. Here they come. They're like, you need an exterminator for those people. It's a joke.
Definitely. These idiots, I mean, do they realize Jalen Hurts has won his last 13 regular season games in a row against winning teams? Do they realize that? And they're trying to say we're lucky or the refs were on our side? What a bunch of crap.
Well, they're losers. Losers and dopes and idiots and morons and everything wrapped up in one. That's who they are.
They haven't beaten a team this year that has more than 4 wins, okay?
They haven't beaten a winning team. Exactly. They haven't beaten a winning team.
And the losing team.
They can't defend that. They can't defend that.
I know.
And the Washington game was a disgrace because they just piled on with 25 points in the last quarter. Piled on.
Prescott's made a career out of garbage time. And
yes, he has. And there's no question about that.
He's done it.
No question. No question. It's pretty obvious. I mean, anybody with half a brain. The Cowboys fans don't have half a brain. I'm sorry.
We won more playoff games last year than they've won in the last 27 years. Okay?
I know. I hear you. Okay, what's your best holiday moment or game?
Well, I was going to take that Leon Lett one, but I got another one. The first time the NFL ever decided to play on Christmas, the Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs played the longest game in NFL history. I think it still is the longest game.
And there Wait a minute, the Dolphins time. And the Chiefs, or was it, what, didn't the Chargers play the longest game?
No, it was the Dolphins and the Chiefs.
Okay.
And there was such an outcry over it that they didn't play on Christmas again for like 18 or 19 years because people had their whole day screwed up watching that game. So the NFL stopped scheduling Christmas games.
What year was that?
1971.
Yeah, we're going back a long way. That's why, I mean, obviously I was around in 71, but I was 3 years old. But
it was significant for all that time because they refused to schedule any more Christmas games until I think it was 1989 or 1990.
Yeah. No. I didn't realize that. All right, I'll put you in the mix. All right.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call. Wow. I never realized, because I know the Chargers had a long game too. I think Chargers played. I forget who they played. It was like 2.5. Well, in the NFL, doesn't want that anymore. You know why they don't want it anymore? They don't want long games. They don't want the play because now they'll have ties. If you don't do it within 10 minutes, it's got to get to the next game on TV. You got a window you're in. If you get out of that window, it screws up TV. It's all about television. And, you know, the NFL is the best product there is. It's not as good a product, but it's clearly, not even close, the best product in professional sports. There's no question. Just people set, I mean, they live their life around the games. And that's, I love that. I mean, that's good. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. We'll have Mark Lawrence on, and we'll try to take some more calls. You know what? I want to get to Frankie because it looks like he wants to talk about Cowboy fans, too. And we'll do that. Here at the Borgata at BetMGM, the sports book, and the time now is 9:38. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you're looking for a point-of-sale system that can truly make a difference. I keep on telling you about this. If you haven't at least checked out PDQ Signature Systems, you're not doing yourself a service if you're in any of those businesses. PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. They offer everything. Mobile POS, self-serve kiosk, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available, but they'll also save you time, effort, and money so you can focus on the most important thing, which is obviously your customers. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn and that great team of his, they will take care of you and create a custom game plan that fits your individual business needs. Really, I mean, I don't know what you're waiting for. If you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. So don't wait any longer. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation. You can do it today. PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com. Actually, thinking about this, I've been talking to Mark Lawrence on the radio before I went to WIP when I was the first one that did sports talk on FM radio. And everybody knows my history of the first sports talk show at WIP. But I've been talking to Mark Lawrence since 1980. Wow, that's over 40 years. That's over. Mark, can you believe that? That's over 40 years.
That's absolutely incredible, Howard.
I know.
I was just looking and reading an article today that the Pac-12, you know, they're going to be playing their final football game today. Over 100 years for the Pac-12, but 40 is pretty good, I would have to say that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, when I was on the FM station and I started putting handicappers on, and I rotated them until I just really, and I'm not saying this because you're on the air, I always loved your information, and I thought you were the most honest. You're an honest guy. Obviously, I know that over years. And I don't know that and I'll just say this. I'm not singling out it. I don't know that they all tell you what they really do, or they're just putting out whatever. But anyway, over 40 years, we've been doing this together. Well, that's crazy. Well, but it's good. It's
that's
good.
Awesome. Well, happy 40th anniversary. Okay?
It's over 40. All right. Yeah. Let's look at the college first, obviously. Who do you like?
I'm going to play against two favorites here that I think have gone bad. We can use some live dogs against them. The first is going to be Coastal Carolina. We're going to take 8 points against James Madison, who went bad last week when they had their perfect season ruined, their bubble burst.
Yeah,
they were favored in that football game. They're favored here again today. They were just belt bad news by the NCAA of not being bowl eligible this year. I mean, they got a really double dose going here. But the thing to me is Coastal Carolina, they win this football game, they're in the conference championship game. They've got a lot to play for here in this contest here. So, you know, a combination of James Madison being down from last week and Coastal Carolina having a lot to play for, I think Coastal Carolina is a nice play here today.
You know, it might be take the points and take the money line.
It might well be. This is the kind of a money line situation that you look for, a team that you feel in your heart you know is going to come to play to win the game.
All right, who else do you like?
The other guy, we're going to play San Diego State against Fresno State. Last home game for San Diego State, they've been real good in this particular role, a down season for them. But take a look at this Fresno State football team. I don't know what crawled up inside of them and died the last couple of weeks here, but they were 22-point favorites last week against New Mexico at home. Not only lost the game, they got out-yarded by over 300 yards in the contest. I mean, I don't know what's going wrong with this football team. They're 0-6 in the stats. They've been out-yarded six games in a row, has Fresno State. Yet their favorite 6 points here. I think San Diego State, again, is a live dog in this game.
Anybody coming off a big win or a bad loss, and we mentioned one of them, Coastal Carolina playing Madison, that you would go against or for?
Well, the other one, probably in the same vein, is the fact that, we just said, Fresno State coming off a 22-point loss
right.
In that contest here. I don't know, you know, obviously we don't want any Fresno State here this particular week, and you probably, and the other flip side of that thing is, you look at who they lost to, New Mexico, you'd probably not want to touch New Mexico today because their feet might not touch the field until the second half of the football contest.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd probably look to fade them and Fresno State as well. But, you know, Fresno State, New Mexico played last night, so obviously there's nothing we can do about that.
Well, and James Franklin did it again against a bad team. He takes care of those alumni who bet the game, always covers the number against bad teams. You know what? just for a point of argument, I would make him 50 when he plays a bad team, and he'd probably still cover. I mean, it's a joke. What a fraud. All right, what a fraud. Total fraud. All right, let's go to the pros. Who do you like?
We're going to look at the two underdogs, better offense, better defense, I think, can win these football games tomorrow. We're taking a look at Houston taking the points against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. It's a team that Houston beat already this year, but they've also beat them in 21 of the last 26 games they played. Houston rather owns this football team.
Wow.
Yes, they do. And it also taking a look at Jacksonville, a football team that really, really struggles in the role of a favorite. You combine the two. You got a quarterback in C.J. Stroud. He looks like the second coming of Joe Burrow, the way he's playing here right now. I think Houston's a live dog in this football game, plus the points at home.
Don't you concern yourself with a revenge game in the same season going?
I do. I do. But there's a couple of factors here. Number one, Houston's alive in the division here right now. They'd be in the playoffs if we spoke. And the other half of it, revenge turns to domination when you beat another team like a drum like they have 21 of the last 26 times. I don't think it's so much revenge as it is domination in the series.
All right. Who else do you like?
That guy's going to be Cleveland. We're going to take them plus the points against Denver. The Browns have obviously the best defense in the National Football League. They also lead the league in rush attempts per game. That's a real key critical stat when you're handicapping football games, to find teams that lead the league or are real strong in rush attempts because they control the clock. They also have a defense that stops the opponent here. And in Denver, you got a team now that's on a little bit of a win streak here. But look at Russell Wilson. I just came across his stat, and I was a little bit amazed here that since he's been with Denver, he's been favored in 13 games since he's been there. He's only beat the spread one time. Wow. Yet he's favored here against a Cleveland football team that has some pretty good momentum here. I like Cleveland plus the points here as well.
You know what? Are there other revenge games? I look at the Rams and Cardinals, obviously, in the same division, and the Chiefs and Raiders. Are any revenge games that you look at there?
Well, you've got Arizona. You know, you could see a little bit of a revenge for them, but whoever they play in the division is going to be a revenge game for them this year. You know,
yeah, right.
They kind of get beat like a drum. The other guy is Chicago Bears Monday night against Minnesota. Minnesota took Chicago out earlier this year, and I have this feeling, just this feeling, you're going to see Chicago closing out as a pretty decent football team here. With Fields being back here right now, coming back like they are here, Minnesota being a little bit overrated right now since the Joshua Dobbs story here. I think Chicago, with the revenge, could give Minnesota all they want Monday night.
All right, here's a game. I don't like the number, and I don't like the way Kansas City plays this year. I don't like the close games that they always play. But that line has just jumped up, and I don't know if that's smart money or dopey money. You get both. I just think Andy Reid's, and he's not a yeller and screamer, that team knows that they made mistakes on Monday night. And the Raiders suck. And I can't bring myself to even look at the Raiders. I don't even know if it's revenge. And I kind of like the Chiefs, even though it's 10. it's crazy.
Well, 10's a big, big number for a team that's struggling like Kansas City is, at least offensively anyway. You know, they're just not putting points in the scoreboard. Only one game have they scored more than 30 points this year at Kansas City, which is really atypical for that football team here. I'm not a big Raiders fan here either, but this interim coach has done a real nice job at least turning the focus of the football team around here. I don't know if I want to lay Kansas City minus the points until they can get their offense together. I think the biggest thing that happened to Kansas City this year was losing Eric Bieniemy, their offensive coordinator, because this offense is just not the same.
Yeah, all right. So, all right, let's take a look at the Eagles. We got to do that. I think we both agree this is going to be a tough game for the Eagles. Emotion last game, big game next week. So how do you look at it?
Well, you hit it right on the head. The emotion from last week and a bigger game next week. My goodness. I've got to look at Buffalo in this contest here. Just a real bad flat spot for Philadelphia. And the thing is, Buffalo just got off the schneid their last game and finally played a decent football game. You just might see Buffalo playing some pretty good football moving forward, going down here, coming down here right now. And the thing I don't like about the Eagles here, I got to pass this along here. I don't think people realize this, but their last three wins that they've had, they've been out-yarded by 98 or more yards in every game they played. You just can't keep getting pushed around the field like this. You got to eventually step up and push the other team around the field here like this. I think Buffalo's a very dangerous dog here on Sunday.
You know what? Eagles winning this game would be a really, really big win in terms of what they have to overcome with all the factors. I think this would be a really big win for the – and obviously they're a good team and they're at home. It's going to be special. The fans are going to be nuts and the whole thing. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, I would – if it was me, I would stay away from the game because I never like to go against the Eagles, and obviously – but I think they're going to have a really difficult game on Sunday as well.
You know what it is, Howard? It's like this analogy that I often use. You know, I love underdogs, and I say if you can't make a case for the dog, don't play the game. Because, you know, you can have some dogs that have fleas, and you really don't want to back them. This is a kind of a case for Philadelphia this week. If you don't want to bet against Philadelphia, don't bet Buffalo. Just don't touch the game. That's what
right,
I say.
Exactly. Okay, if people have interest in Mark's services, 800-321-7777 on the internet at playbooksports.com. Mark, you have a great week.
Howard, do the same. Be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right. I wanted to get to Frankie to talk. Hey, Frankie, save it because I'm kind of late here. Save it for next week, and I'm sorry I didn't get you on because I know you want to bury those stinking lousy Cowboy fans. All right, Dan. Dan Wilson back at the studio. I think we've come up with the winner for the McGurks, the special moment or a game on the holiday. I think we've come up with the winner.
Yeah, so we're going to Lions-Steelers on Thanksgiving in 1998, the Jerome Bettis coin flip mishap, which ultimately changed the rule that now you players have to call the coin flip before the coin is even flipped. So our winner today is Pete in Allentown.
Pete in Allentown, you win the $100 gift certificate to McGurk's. Great place, food, atmosphere, watching games in Horsham, Lionville, and Fort Washington. All right, Dan Wilson back at the studio, doing a great job here. Caleb Fleeger, did I pronounce that correctly?
Fleeger.
What is it?
Fleeger.
Fleeger. He spells his name the wrong way to pronounce it. You know, you just change the spelling and then I'll be fine with it. All right, Caleb with me here again, the poor guy. I never get his last name right, never. That's all right, you spell it the wrong way. All right, everybody have a great finish to your holiday weekend. Eagles football tomorrow. Today's Saturday, right? I lose track of the days. Tomorrow, big game, big game. The Kelly Green game. It'll be rocking there at Lincoln Financial Field. And Glenn and Mike Sielski are up next. Have a great day, and thanks, as always, to the Borgata. The time now is 9:58.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.